once again coming to you from the laundry room. This is where I live, my home, my laundry room home with the laundry cam here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. There's something you may not know about me, but you probably do. I hate bad sound. So this is driving me crazy that this sound is terrible, that it's echoey, that I'm not speaking directly into a microphone. This is a sacrifice on my part to sacrifice quality. Just so that I can be with you and talk to you here. And so you're very patient with this. I was not able to get up to my Coral Springs studio today. Well, I could have, but Waylon and Regina have a family member staying there. And so I just can't do this when, you know, someone's in the periphery. They said, well, we'll send her out for a few hours. And she has a baby. This is their daughter-in-law. So she has a baby, and so I do not like to disrupt other people's lives. I do disrupt other people's lives, but I don't do it intentionally. People's lives are disrupted when they choose to listen to me. They choose to read one of my books. They choose to, you know, watch this show. And so if your life is disrupted by the truth, and it will be, then I didn't invite it, did it? Did I? I put my material out there and you read it. But to inject myself, I just can't do it. They're very gracious there. But now, if this daughter-in-law were to just sit right next to me and stare at me, I could do the show. I have no problem people watching me. In fact, when I did my show in Pennsylvania, we had many visitors. And sometimes people would be sitting in the room as I recorded my show. As long as they're all listening and paying attention, I can do it. But if somebody's in the periphery, that's very difficult for me, you see. So anyway, that's the explanation. Maybe a couple more days of this poor sound, but forget about it. I'm going to get this information to you, whether the sound is good or not. It just humbles me. That's all. It keeps me humble. You know, I like it, everything to be great, but it's not. So another dose of humility. This wreath, I got an amazing truth for you. On this wreath, remember in verse 16 of chapter. No, it's verse 14 of chapter 14. I don't have my glasses on. I can't see much here. There was one on a white cloud. It was the Son of Mankind having a golden wreath on his head. Now this golden wreath is really interesting, and it's gonna apply. I'm gonna apply it to your life. All this imagery is meaningful. This is going to help you because it helped me when I read this. Now, a wreath speaks of two things, reward and dominion. The competitors in the Olympics, for instance, in the old days, they got a laurel wreath. They got a wreath made of leaves. Afterward, you could take it off your head, chop it up, add some onions, some celery, some tomatoes, put a little vinegar and oil on it, and you could have yourself a nice salad. And it was not worth anything monetarily because it was just the thought of accomplishment. And that's what we have here because Jesus Christ is an awesome position right now. He's an awesome position in that he has won. He already has the wreath and now he's just waiting to take his power. It's like he has the ticket. Don't you feel great when you get your ticket ahead of time? You print your boarding pass, let's say, on the airlines. And you have it, and you feel so smug and secure. And you see all these people at the airport struggling at the airport to line up and get their boarding passes. You already have yours. You can just waltz right by the check-in area and go directly to security. Isn't that a great feeling? Well, Jesus Christ has this great feeling that he's already done the hard work. And now he has been given all authority, he said to his disciples in Matthew 28, has been given to me. In heaven and on earth, but he has not taken his power, but he has the ticket. That has to feel so good. All he has to do is show the ticket, and then he's in. He's going to rule and reign on this earth. And the ticket is this crown, this wreath. It's a golden wreath, which is weird, because the wreath was made out of salad fixings, generally. But now we have a wreath that is golden. The gold speaks of dominion. And the dominion is given to one of a regal rank. And sure enough, Jesus Christ qualifies. This is from A.E. Nock. As a prize, it was twined of a perishable plant. As a royal headpiece, it was made of precious metal. So the royal headpiece speaks of dominion. Now, this one, capital O, is going to exercise his rights. And he does it as a reaper. It is his right to take control of the earth anytime he wants. And he's going to do it. Now, we know that the darnel that was sown in the field that he is going to reap was sown by an enemy. But he is going to use the sickle to deliver his chosen ones, those who are not of the 144,000, deliver them by death. That should be a review for you. So here's the great thing. There is a great contrast between this golden wreath, this trophy, and the wreath of thorns that was braided by the soldiers of Caesar. Speaking of Caesar salad, how can I make a joke at a time like this? Please, let me forget about what I just said there. So we have the first and the last times. There are only two times that a wreath is mentioned in the Greek scriptures. And the first time was when a wreath of thorns was put together by those sick, cruel, idiot head Roman soldiers and pressed upon his head, and his head bled, and it was a mock tribute to him. Oh, you're the king of the Jews. Well, we have a wreath for you since you're the king of the Jews. It's just horrible. And then they put it on his head. And what does he do? He suffers it. He puts up with it because he knows he's going to the cross to buy the ticket, and he's going to return with a golden wreath. But the specificity of this, that it's the only two times wreath is mentioned in the Greek scriptures, is awesome to me. Because he is coming to stop suffering. He's going to stop the suffering. And the first people he's going to do this for, I mean, he's already come for us by the time this takes place. By the time this reaping takes place by the one with the throne, he will have already snatched us away into the celestial realm. But I love this principle, and I'm quoting from the book because I wish I would have written this. I really do. It's so simple. It's almost like a Ernest Hemingway statement. You know, Ernest Hemingway, one of my inspirations in writing between Hemingway and Twain and Henry Miller. But Hemingway would say, "It was hot." That's a boring way to say it's hot. It's also a bold and daring way to say it is hot. Just say it is hot. That revolutionized literature. It is hot. So listen to this. Jesus Christ condescends to stoop down to earth before his glorious advent in order to stop the suffering of his saints. Stop the suffering of his saints. It is his heart's desire to stop the suffering of his saints. That's us. We're so suffering oriented because that's all we have right now. Monday, suffer. Tuesday, suffer. Wednesday, suffer. Thursday, Friday, suffer. Oh, here's the weekend. Suffer and suffer. But the day is coming when he is going to stop the suffering of his saints. He does it for us at the snatching away, and he's looking forward to it. Suffering is going to come to an end, and he's going to stop the suffering of the Israel saints by getting their heads chopped off. But it works. It's the stop of suffering. It's the cessation of suffering. I like the alliteration here. Also, you know I do. Stop the suffering. It's like a stop the suffering program that he is on. Think of it. Our suffering is going to stop. Here we are witnessing it stopping for Israel. Remember I told you I was happy for the Apostle Paul in the movie that the Apostle Paul was in when he laid his head on that chopping block. I'm thinking, he's thinking, finally. I've run the race. He announces that exultantly to Timothy. I have run the race. I have contended the ideal contest. And now there awaits for me the wreath of righteousness. I don't think he, does he say wreath there? That must be another reference to wreath. Does he say wreath there? I'll have to check that out. I'll have to double check on that, see how many times specifically. All right, live Bible study, sure, why not? Hang on a second. You can look at this poster of South Beach over here while I get that. No, you can't, because I'm going to have to let go. Hang on. Wreath. And I'm going to tell you what. You know what? I don't have time to do this study because I need to tell you why the specificity of this. Well, I'll have that ready for you tomorrow. On the other hand, I might not. But is that it was specifically a wreath of thorns, and it's specifically a golden wreath. So that's just one thing. What think of the other humiliations Christ had? His back, he was scourged, he was spit on, he was nailed to a cross. His wrists were damaged, his feet were damaged, and his head was damaged by this wreath. Now this has been traded in, but this is the only thing that has been mentioned. So I'm thinking now, I'm not getting this from the book, this is just me, that for the specific point that the finger was pressed upon, or the discipline, or the whatever the pain, the suffering that was necessary, was pressed upon by God, that very thing will be transformed. There will be an act of divine alchemy upon that very thing that will change a wreath of thorns into a golden wreath. You see, it's still going to be like a wreath. And so his hands, his wrists, where the nail prints went in. Not the hands. You remember that stupid Catholic priest who had they call it stigmata. He has this miraculous issue of blood from the palm of his hand. Nobody was crucified here, folks. There's not, you can't support the weight of it. Anyway, so our Lord is going to, somehow, it's going to be overcompensated on his wrists, on his back. There's going to be an overcompensation so that the most glowing, the most vibrant parts of his being will be those parts that were injured. His wrists are going to glow. Quote me on this. You can quote me on this. Look for it. When he appears, watch for glowing wrists, a glowing back, wherever some bad thing happened to him, it's going to be overcompensated by God. We see this in the natural realm. When you break an arm, at that specific spot, the body overcompensates for it. It says, we're going to make up for you, for this, for you. Sorry about your luck here. You broke your arm, and so we're going to send extra nutrients, extra white blood cells, extra proteins, whatever, into that spot. So our Lord's head and his wrist and his back and his feet are going to be vibrant. Apply this to yourself now. Whatever area of your life he's touching now, whether it's a physical infirmity, you can't move your legs, you don't have a leg, or it's an emotional infirmity, you're depressed, he's going to take that depression and you're going to be happier than anybody else who wasn't depressed. You see what I mean? People who weren't depressed here on earth, they're going to be happy in heaven. I'm not saying they're not going to be, but I'm saying that if you suffer from depression, you're going to be way happier than them, because there is going to be an overcompensation because of, I'm getting this from this wreath of thorns and golden wreath, the same thing, turned from thorns to gold. That's quite a contrast, I would say. Thorns, gold. Thorns, gold. So if you have had trauma in your relationships, if you have been hurt, damaged, or injured in relationships, then you're going to be the most popular person among the celestials. Sure, the other saints will have their social circles, but you will be queen bee, and everyone will want to be with you. If you've been rejected in this life, God's going to put his finger on that sore spot, and you're going to be the most accepted, loved person. More than the rest of us. Us poor, sorry saps who got some, you know, relative acceptance in this life. You've been rejected all around. Don't worry. God knows that. And he's going to take that very thing that's been your sorest trial, and he's going to take it through the roof. Through the roof.